Whatever it is that's causing you to worry tonight, I want you to take a moment to take that worry and that thing that's making you so anxious and bring it before the Lord and leave it here in His presence. Because you see, there is nothing that is so deep and so difficult that He cannot bear with you. He has never said, I will leave you on your own. He says, I will come and walk with you and bear the burden. I wonder what it is that's making you anxious, because we all have these moments of anxiety, don't we, in our daily lives. When we get up in the morning, sometimes we're struggling to get out of bed because we're anxious about something, whatever it is. And tonight, the story of God's grace says, there is nothing that is so difficult that I do not want to journey with you and bring about peace in your life. I wonder if we could take a moment to be quiet now in prayer and bring before the Lord the things that we get anxious about. It could be the life of the church. It could be the congregation that you want to worship in. It could be something in your family. It could be your children. It could be just something that you're anxious about and you don't know what it is. But there's just that hanging over you, that sense of anxiety. Will you come now where you are and bring it before the Lord in prayer and allow His amazing grace to touch your heart and life wherever you are? Let's pray together. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord God, for the things that trouble us this evening, the coming week, the work situation, the family situation, the relationships with friends that are not going right, will you help us? We come this evening and leave it before you. We lay down our burden on this your table tonight. For the past regrets, for the things we wish we had done, for the friendships we wish we had pursued, for the opportunities we let slip by, we ask that we may no longer regret these, but you will help us to see that that is the past, and you are no longer the God of the has-been. You are no longer I was, but you are I am. You are with us now, healing us and giving us new opportunities. Help us to reach out and journey with you from this evening on into these new opportunities. While we come to pray these things together, in Jesus' name, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want us to just reflect for a short time on this whole story of the Lord's Last Supper with his disciples, and the story of how Jesus was washing disciples' feet. It's an interesting story because the scene is set, it's Passover, and it's almost like Passover night is where the families all get together. I've often wondered what was happening here. If that is the case, why was it that the rest of the disciples were not with their families? And it's a bit like Thanksgiving Day in America, or it's like Christmas Day. You don't, on Christmas Day, just simply meet up with your friends, you meet with your family. So what was happening here? Had there been tension? Was there trouble? What was it that made these disciples meet with Jesus for Passover instead of meeting with their family for Passover? We're told it was just before Passover feast, so perhaps they were getting ready to have the feast with their family, and perhaps this was just the night before. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. We're told here in verse 2 that the evening meal was being served. So it was already in progress. The evening meal was being served. And we're told that the evil one had prompted Judas, and he was ready to betray Jesus. And something happened in all of this, and I wonder, someone once talked about this story. I remember reading it, and I think it might have been Archbishop Temple. He speaks of this, these disciples coming together that night. It's a bit like, you know, the story of Simon the leper. Simon, in Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee never offers to wash Jesus' feet and never offers him any of that etiquette at the beginning of the evening. And in the ancient world, in the Middle East, when people would meet after having a long day's work and after being out walking in the street with their feet would be tired, and the servants would come and wash feet. Had the disciples not arranged for a servant to be there to wash the feet as they came in? But whatever happened, nobody was washing one another's feet. Was it that they were all standing back and saying, well, it's not my job. I'm not washing feet. And were they all standing back and saying, well, in that case then, feet will not be washed? And was Jesus waiting to see what was going to happen? I wonder how many jobs in the church are a bit like that, and how many of our lives are like that. Things that should be done are not done because we say, well, it's not my job to do it. I'll let someone else do it. And here in this story, on the weekend that we've been thinking in the congregation about the importance of service and offering ourselves in service, Jesus is our model. Jesus is our role model, our example of service. There is no job below him. There is nothing beneath him that he will not do. And he takes this example and he uses this to teach them about the full extent of his love. So no one was going to wash feet. So Jesus gets up from the table and he goes over and he puts the apron on and he takes the basin and he says, I'll wash feet. And as he starts going around the feet, of course, they all protest. They say, you can't do that. You're the Lord. And he said, I've got to do it. I'm going to do it. And he begins to wash their feet. And then, of course, we've got the story of Simon Peter saying, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says to him, unless I wash your feet, you're not really my disciple. You've got to allow me to serve you. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Allowing someone else to serve you. We live in a society where so often we are afraid to let someone serve us in case we owe them something. In case we're then beholden to them. And there is a sense in which when someone serves us, we are beholden to them. There's a relational thing there. As someone comes to serve us. And Jesus now comes to do this very menial task. It struck me that their feet were worn, and no doubt their feet were sore. And perhaps they'd been doing a bit of walking and they were tired. And Jesus comes and washes tired feet. And that struck me tonight as we gather here. I wonder how many of us have come to church this evening and we've got tired feet. We're tired. We're tired of so many things. We're struggling with so many ideas. We're struggling with life itself, and our feet are tired. Literally, maybe as you're watching and being part of this, and maybe saying, that's how I feel tonight. I could go for a nice warm bath. I could go and just have my relax. And of course, Peter then wants, when Jesus says to him, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter says, Lord, can I have a bath? Would you like to bath me? If that's the case, I want everything. And it's so obvious about, and it's so, again, it reflects the nature of Peter. But some of us are like that. We always go over the top with Jesus. We're not prepared just to accept what he's going to give us. And what he's going to give us is going to be more than we will ever need. But then we go over the top. And we ask for more than we need, and more than we deserve, and more than it's even right for us to have. And Jesus says, Peter, if I wash your feet, that's all that's required. If I wash your feet, that's all that's required. A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then he said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? And he asked them, you call me teacher, and I Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I am your Lord and teacher, and I have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Here is Jesus setting out the relationship of the church, the relationship of the community, the relationship of these believers. As he moves on, as he goes to be with the Father, he is now saying to them, this is the model. It's servanthood. Serve one another. Care for one another. Do the menial tasks. Never be afraid to do the menial tasks, because that's where you find my presence, in washing and caring for one another. Washing feet. So tonight, will you let Jesus wash your feet? Will you let that presence come to you and take the weariness and the worn and the areas where you feel overburdened and struggling with? Will you come and lay them down, as we talked about earlier on in our prayer tonight? Will you allow his refreshing presence to come and touch your feet and wash you and make you feel refreshed? Not only were they going to have their feet washed that evening, but they were going to come to experience the communion around the table. Because as they were thinking of the Passover meal, so now Jesus was going to take this Passover meal and say, I am the lamb. I am the sacrificial lamb. I am going to die. And my death is going to be for the forgiveness of your sins. So not only are your feet going to be washed, but your sins are going to be forgiven. And that's at the very center of this meal tonight. That's at the very center of what we're about as a church. Breaking bread together, serving one another, caring for one another, and loving one another. Take a moment to think. Will you let Jesus wash your feet tonight? Will you take your shoes off? Will you admit to the areas of need in your life? Will you admit that you need his help? And will you allow him to wash your feet? You know, it's quite a hard thing for us to do. And the longer we are in the Christian life, the longer we are, sometimes we become quite self-contained. We think we know it all. But we don't. We need one another. We need to allow, and we need to be willing to allow someone else to wash our feet. But also we need to be willing to wash one another's feet. And so there's a duality here tonight for us to think about as we come to this table. Lord, you're no longer here. What are the things that I need to be doing within the life of this congregation to wash people's feet? Where are people feeling the need? And where are people afraid or even too proud to get involved? How can I start something that will engage others to wash feet tonight? And Lord, will you wash my feet? And as we take the bread and the wine, let us take it with a sense of gratitude, not out of guilt, because our sins have been forgiven, but a sense of amazing gratitude for all that God has given us. Our feet have been washed. We've been given bread to eat and wine to drink to tell us we are part of his kingdom. So why are you worrying about things tonight? Why are you gathered and why are you struggling and why are you afraid of this coming week? Has he not done all this for you? Rest in him. Allow him to be your source, to be your guide, to be your comforter. Allow his presence to journey with you. And know that all is well with your soul because his presence goes with you in the bread and the wine. What more do we want? What more do we want? Someone said to me, what do we need? What do we need in the church? And there it is left at the back of our church. If you were to look, you can't see it, but on the banners at the back it says, all you can't leave behind. And what you can't leave behind is the bread and the wine, the water for baptism, and the cross of Christ. That's all we can't leave behind. It's as simple as that. The bread and the wine, the water for baptism, and the cross of Christ. And of course, we know all that through God's word. And so the Bible becomes the other thing we can't leave behind. Everything else can go. May God this evening draw us in closer fellowship and sustain us and strengthen us as we come to break bread and wine together. Let's sing together the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.